Welcome. This is Cascade Church Portland's podcast. We exist to invite all people to join us as we follow Jesus together in bringing heaven to earth.
So it's my it's my little secret thing here to kind of by the end of this year, I want this church to be much louder than it actually. Coming in, it's going to be a lot. Kurt's not going to be able to hear himself. He's going to be,
amen.
Yeah. Let's pray together. Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for your amazing grace. Thank you for the opportunity to worship together. We thank you for the gifts that you have given to this worship band and have led us into your presence. We celebrate communion together. To represent our life with you. And now we ask that you are with us as we look into your word, that you would reveal yourself to us. In Christ's name, amen. So this is the last week of John, last week of this series that has been going on since January. Some of you might be tired of it, but I have enjoyed this, and this week we will end this in John chapter 21. I'm going to read a little bit of that, probably first 14 verses here of John chapter 21. After Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee, it happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Canaan in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them. And they said, "Well, we'll go with you." So they went out and got into a boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then a disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it, and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. So today, in closing this out, I want to talk a little bit about between resurrection and Pentecost, right? So it's the week after Jesus is, the tomb is found empty, you know, and his resurrection. Mary goes, he's not there. She announces to the disciples, right? And the rest is history. All the way to last week for us, right? We celebrate the resurrection, right? It's a high moment in the Christian church, right? All around the world, the resurrection is celebrated. And what Jesus did for us, that he is risen. Right, that word. And some churches, we went to a church in Philadelphia, and a big point on Easter Sunday is they would sing the Hallelujah chorus, right? They would close out the service, right? Choirs ready, big organ, you know, and the Hallelujah chorus, and everybody walks out, all, you know, feeling good, new clothes, right? And that was Easter. The problem with some of that is that such a high day, and then you got to go to work Monday morning, right? Or you got to go home to those kids, and they put holes in those new clothes that you just bought, right? That was me. My mom would go crazy. We'd get holes in the knees of new suits that afternoon. But there is after the resurrection. And in this scripture, we find the disciples in that same place. John chapter 21, some of the stuff that's written about this says that they think John might have added this chapter afterwards simply to honor Peter. Because if you look at the end of 20, it looks like it closes, right? And then there's 21 with this idea around Peter. Some think that John added this to honor Peter in the way that he was martyred as a leader in the church. So it has this idea, right? So here's Peter, here's the disciples. Jesus had appeared a couple times. He's not with them all the time. They're in this waiting process. Jesus keeps telling them, wait, the Holy Spirit is going to come. Wait, wait, wait. And if you're anything like Peter, that word is like, makes you cringe, right? Anybody else like that? Like, wait is worse than anything. Just tell me yes or no, right? Yes. And then I can figure something else out, right? Because no only means you find another way, right? Maybe that's just me. But here the disciples are. They're waiting, and Peter's up. Peter is here, and this is a short time from him denying Jesus. The cross happens. Jesus appears. Right. He's in this place. He's leading these disciples, and Peter decides, you know what? I'm going to go fishing. I'm tired of this. Right. And you can imagine, right, some things going through Peter's head. Jesus is not here, right? I need to eat. Y'all need to eat. We don't have any money, right? We're sitting in this room. We got bills to pay, right? There's no little boy here that with a lunch that Jesus is going to feed us with, right? That's all gone, right? We need some money. And Peter says, I'm going fishing, right? That's what I know how to do, right? And the disciples decide, hey, cool, we're going with you. Can we show this clip?
Thanks for the drink.
Sweet dreams.
Do we have a deal, Mr. Reagan?
You know, I know this steak doesn't exist. I know that when I put it in my mouth, the matrix is telling my brain that it is juicy and delicious. After 9 years, you know what I realize? Ignorance is bliss.
Then we have a deal.
I don't want to remember nothing. Nothing. You understand? I don't want to be rich. Someone important. Like an actor.
Whatever you want, Mr. Reagan.
Okay. I can get my body back in a power plant. Reinsert me into the matrix. I'll get you what you want.
Access codes to the Zion mainframe.
No, I told you I don't know them. I can get you the man who does.
Morpheus.
Here you go, buddy. Breakfast of champions. If you close your eyes, it almost feels like you're eating.
So I don't know how many of you saw The Matrix, but this guy has lived in the real world for a while, right? And outside of The Matrix, and he has decided, I'm done, right? This is too much. I know the steak isn't real, but I just want to be ignorant. I just don't want to know what I know, right? And so that this idea, like for Peter in this moment, is, I know all of this stuff. Jesus is who he is. I know I walked with him for 3 years. I know I've seen him raise people from the dead. But Peter, like, this guy is like, ignorance is bliss. I'm going fishing. I want life before whatever happened to me these last 3 years, right? Now, this seemed logical and right because, right, the disciples, they do what? They go right with him, right? Like, sure you need to have a job, right? Sure you need to make some money, right? Sure you need to eat. Sure your kids need a good home. Sure, right? There's all of these logical, wonderful logical reasons that make sense for Peter to go fishing, right? You ever make a really good logical decision that was an absolute wrong path, right? This seemed right. This is the way we should go. It makes sense. We know how to fish. We made a living fishing. And the only problem is this is not the path that Jesus chooses for Peter and the disciples. You ever make the wrong decision in waiting? You're just waiting. You're just antsy. And I got to do something because waiting is miserable. Waiting, right? You run these scenarios through your head over and over again. Maybe I should do this. Maybe I should do that. Maybe I should go here. Let me count the cost here. Let me do that. When God says, no, just wait. I don't want you figuring it out. I don't want you applying your logic. I want you to wait. And waiting is hard after the high day of resurrection, right? After such good stuff happens, after you can see it, oh my gosh, he's risen. I'm all in for Jesus. I want to walk with him. You remember these days, maybe early on when you first come to know Jesus and you're really excited and you're in and you're on board, and then some time goes past and you're like, I'm going back to what I know. So much so that Jesus, they go in his boat, they go fishing, and they catch nothing, nada, all night long, right? Those times you go fishing in the evening, right? And they fished all night long till the next morning, and they catch nothing. And then there's this guy standing on the shore saying, hey, you catch any fish? Right? And that was probably a normal scene, right? That was because the fishermen would go out at night, they would catch fish, and then the buyers would come in the morning, right? And the buyers would buy the fish that they caught. Well, perhaps that's a buyer out there, and we have nothing to sell to this buyer. Now, the people that followed Jesus, that followed Peter that time, if I was one of those people, I'd say, look, Peter, man, you gotta send this again. There's somebody wanting to buy fish so we can eat, we can make some money, and we've got nothing, man. What are we going to do, Peter, right? Like Peter is under a lot of pressure as a leader. He has made some bad decisions, right? He starting a few days before Jesus dies, he cut some dude's ear off, and Jesus says, Peter, no, man, that's not it, right? No, that's not how we're doing this thing, Peter. Then Peter's he's at the foot of the cross, and he denies Jesus 3 times, right? And he makes that mistake, and then after the cross, right, Mary, they come, and they announce that Jesus is risen, and Peter's there. He's happy. He thinks it's restored. But what he's done is probably eating him alive. And now, and the thing is, he's a leader, right? You know, the base definition of leaders that people follow you, right? That's in this basic thing. And everything I say, people keep coming with me. Just leave me alone. I'm going fishing. Yep, well, here we come with you, Peter, right? Like, no, y'all stay right here. Leave me alone. They didn't even recognize Jesus standing on the shore calling out to them. 3 years with Jesus. They lived with him, walked with him, slept with him, ate with him, saw him raise people from the dead, right? Peter walked on water to him. And here Jesus is standing on the shore and they don't recognize him. You see, sometimes that path the other way down our way of logic that we think we should go sends us to places that, like, we don't recognize truth and understanding. We make bad mistakes, right? Because we're not in the place that God wants us to be. It's a scary thing to step out of that, and then Jesus is calling you. And you're like, I don't know who that is. Sometimes we get in these places in our lives where we've made these decisions and God's standing at the shore in our life and saying, no, hey, you got anything? Almost like God standing at the shore, hey, how'd that job work out for you? How'd that house that was the one you should get, how'd that work out for you? Right? How those really wonderful logical decisions work out that weren't where I told you to go. Right? That's Jesus standing on the shore in our lives asking us the question, you got any fish? And we're empty in those spaces sometimes. This is that waiting space between resurrection and Pentecost, where Peter finds himself. He steps back into danger, right? On this clip, the Mr. Smiths of the world are always there to make a deal with us, right? Right? I don't want to know anything. I want to be an actor. Mr. Smith's like, yeah, okay, whatever. Yeah, cool. Yeah. When Mr. Smith knows this isn't real, what are you thinking? You're about to sell out, right? Your friends, your family, folks that you know, you're about to go the whole opposite direction, and this isn't real. You know it's not real, and you're making a deal with me.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Whatever you want. Stepping back is dangerous. It causes us to lose perspective. The big thing is we take charge, right? No, I'm going to do this thing. Looking for something familiar, something that feels good, something that makes sense. Instead of Peter sitting in a room with these people waiting for what? What are we waiting for? What are you going to do, God? What are you, like, all hell's breaking loose in the world. What are you talking about? People are dying. People aren't getting along. We our government is going crazy. Like there's all this stuff going on. What are we waiting for? We can figure this out. Right? Something we feel like we know sometimes isn't actually where God wants us to be. And we can run into those places, right, in the midst of waiting for the Spirit to move in our lives and around us. Jesus says, hey, try again. This scene has to be familiar to them. In Luke chapter 5, it says he got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon Peter, And he asked him to push out a little from the shore. They sat down, and he taught people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Push out into the deep water and let down your nets for a cast." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets had begun to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boats to come and help them. And they came and filled the boats so full that they began to sink. When Peter saw this, he fell at his knees and said, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of the fish they had taken. And so were James and John and the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will do what? Fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on the shore and left everything and followed. Jesus was clear way back when it started. Peter, your vocation has changed. Peter, like what you see happening, this is an example of what I want you to be doing with people. Peter's vocation was changed. Sometimes in the beginning, when we come to Jesus, when we have these moments with God, and he is clear in our hearts because of what he has done around us, and we know in those moments, like that was the moment that God was clear with Peter and Peter was clear with God. And now here we are 3 years later and Peter's back on that boat, but Peter's not fishing for people. Peter's fishing for Peter. Where are you now? Who are you fishing for? Your life revolve around? Whose agenda are you on? Are you working just to feed the family? Is all your time wrapped up around how you're going to care for these kids, your kids, and your family, and you never think about any other kid outside of that? Your house, not community houses. Who are you working for? What you doing? It's the week after resurrection. The week after our high church moment. Have you gone back fishing? Just to your normal life, normal work, taking care of the kids. When God has clearly changed our vocation. He told us that we are now fishing for people. Is that your vocation? Do you need to go back to the beginning and remember this story? See, the first time, so they cast their nets the second time, right? And they don't know who Jesus is. They get all these fish in the boat, and it takes John to go, "Hey, Peter, I think that might be Jesus." Right? Remember, dude, this happened before. The first time it happened, Peter was in awe. Peter was undone. Peter was on his face before Jesus saying, I don't know who you are. I am unworthy. This time, Peter doesn't even recognize what's going on because he's so into himself. The disciples, the first time, right, they were astonished. This time, they sat there and watched Peter swim to the shore. Then they decide to do what they had already been doing all along, right? Follow Peter, right? And they get to the shore, and it says that Jesus has a fire and breakfast waiting for them. what is at shore is amazing, right? Like we need to do another week of this because that, what was at shore was Jesus, personified in our lives. We are working hard. We are frustrated. We don't know where to go, what to do, how to do it, right? And Jesus is standing there and he says, hey, throw your nets in. You catch all these fish, right? They realize it's Jesus. They come to the shore and there's already substance there. There is a fire and there are fish. Who caught those fish? You ever think about that? Who caught those fish? Where those fish come from, Jesus, that you're cooking on that fire for us? Who'd you buy those from? How'd you get those? What's in those fish that's different than a fish on that boat? Jesus has a fire and fish waiting for us. The meal he wants us to eat, he prepares. He builds the fire so that we can come in and warm ourselves and dry our clothes and be cared for. This is a whole nother sermon. This is that caring maternal part of God coming out in Jesus. I will care for you. I will nurture you. Right? I will build you a fire. Sit down and warm yourself. Right? And there is a meal. And here's the funny thing, right? He says, after breakfast, right? And somewhere in there, he says, hey, bring some of the fish you caught. Bring some of the fish you caught. This brings back to Matthew, Jesus says, I want to make you fishers of people. And they caught nothing until Jesus commanded, throw your net back in. What was in that book? What was in that net? Right? There were some fish to sell and market, maybe. Right? There was a way to feed your family in that net, maybe. There was some relationships and family and friends and homes and sustenance that whatever was in that net, Jesus said, now bring some of that too. You can add that on to what I've already. Now they're sitting at this meal that Jesus prepared. They are full and they are cared for, not just in that moment, but they have a net full of fish to care for their families and the people around them. Their nets didn't break this time. The boat didn't sink. The last time the net, they couldn't handle it. They weren't noticing these little signs. Like the first time this happened, it was overwhelming for them. The nets were breaking. They had to call people to help. All of this scene. It was all this activity. This time, it was manageable. Jesus had managed it. Their nets weren't breaking. Their boats weren't sinking. It was like Jesus was preparing this scene and this thing for them, so that they could be cared for, so that they could do what? Go out and live into this vocation. You don't have to worry about your nets breaking. You don't have to worry about your boats sinking. I will care for that. What we should be doing is serving the world. There's some practical here for us. How do we serve the world? How do we not worry about our homes and our children and our life and our substance and all these things, right? And let God fill that stuff. And then how do we take on the life of fishing for people? What does that look like in your life? Is that active in your life? How many times a week do you think about fishing for people and whatever that looks like in your context? That might look like taking some people to lunch at your work. That might look like volunteering at an after-school program. That might look like getting involved in some trafficking issues around the city or some issues of justice or whatever that look like. What is your fishing for people time? That's what we do coming off of the resurrection. We wait patiently. We don't go back to what we knew before. And then when the Holy Spirit comes, the Holy Spirit changes the whole game. Because this guy, Peter, right? He becomes a bad dude after the Holy Spirit takes him, right? He starts preaching in 3,000. First of all, he starts preaching and people start hearing the word in their own tongue. 3,000 people are added to the church in one afternoon. What was that to preach? Peter walking by people. And scripture says his shadow passes over people and they're getting healed. Jesus restores Peter. And at the end of this, Jesus restores Peter to the leadership that he called him and to the leader he called him to be. He publicly does that. The end of this story, the second half of this story is, Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Yes, I love you. Jesus did that so that the disciples and all who watched could see this. This guy has made some mistakes, but that wasn't his heart. I'm going to reset him back up as leader, and you wait for the Holy Spirit. Right? Peter, you were trying to carry yourself, but now another will carry you, is what Jesus says. Something else will be carrying you and guiding you and leading. Friends, in the week after resurrection, and in our waiting for Pentecost, right? There is this time for us to reflect around what life is going to look like as we engage the world. And that's the question of the time. That's how we close this idea of word becoming flesh. It's Jesus handing it off to us. Saying, I got you covered. Don't worry about your own fishing expeditions. I got that. Now you go out and you fish for people. The end of the book is us being commissioned to go. So the question is, how are you going to go? What does life look like now after our resurrection celebration? Where are you going, folks? What are we going to do, Cascade? Huh? How are we going to get out in Portland and fish? Not for ourselves. God's got that covered. We're going to bring something back to God. And he says, hey, what you got? Put some of what you have on the fire. Let's pray together.